Good morning. Please sit down. Well, I got some glasses yesterday and I'm still getting used to them. I can see that one advantage is that when people get up and go, I can see who it is. I think the disadvantage will be I can't exactly see what's going on down here. So if it's a short sermon, then I just miss several of the pages, I think. We are going through John's first letter, and we've reached the end of the first section. So it would be good if you could turn to it with me, just to see how the structure works. Page 259 in the Church Bibles, New Testament section, quite near the end of the Bible. The first letter of John. And when I talk about the first section, from chapter 1, verse 5, to chapter 2, verse 28, it is like a section of Paul's letter. If he was doing paragraphs, then he'd probably have done a paragraph after 2:28. Because it's to do with the first test which he is describing. And he's saying, if you want to be clear over who is a Christian, if you want to be confident you are a Christian, if you want to solve any confusion you have regarding who is a Christian and who isn't, then John gives these three simple tests. And the first test comes to a rather heightened and dramatic conclusion here in this last section of the first section, if you like, verses 18 to 28 of chapter 2. And he starts by saying this: the day it will really matter that you are a Christian is the last day, when Jesus returns as judge of all. So here in verse 18, we see John starting to heighten his language. Can you see verse 18? Children, that means the family of God. It is the last hour. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. From this we know that it is the last hour. Well, John recognized that it was already the promised last times, the period between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, when he would finish everything. And part of what Jesus said to look out for in those last times was false teachers, or false messiahs, those claiming to be Christ, false prophets. And here John uses his own vivid words to make this straightforward point, which comes straight from Jesus' teaching. To digress slightly, does anyone here remember the punk rock group who had a chart hit with the chorus, "I am an Antichrist"? It shows I'm of a certain age, I think, and I think it was the Sex Pistols, was it? Yeah. You're allowed to admit it. It's all right. Isn't it? We have to engage with our culture. Showing my age, and actually, technically, I think the person that sang that was right. He was an Antichrist. And here's why. Antichrist is one of those words that can become extra loaded and too specific. And John uses it here in quite a general way. For a start, the Bible suggests that the devil is the Antichrist for obvious reasons. He is the chief enemy of Jesus Christ. But also, Jesus suggests that there will be particular people in these last times who will make it their business to oppose Christians and Christianity, and these leaders are antichrists. They're against Christians, Jesus Christ. But also, John, in verse 18, says there are many antichrists, and on a basic level, anyone who refuses to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ is an antichrist. And then, even more specific, and more striking in this passage, John is saying that there were antichrists who'd gone out as church leaders. Can you see in verse 19? They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by going out, they made it plain that none of them belongs to us. So these false teachers who'd gone out and were teaching in the churches, different churches around Asia, that part of Western Turkey, where John was overseeing, in some of the churches there, were antichrists, says John. Because on a very basic level, antichrist means someone who does not accept, who rejects Jesus as the Christ, God's promised king for all time. Just getting technical about the New Testament Greek, the prefix anti means two things in Koine Greek. It can mean against, which is the way in which I've explained it so far, as in people who reject Christ or against Christ. It can also mean in place of. So antichrist can also mean I don't have Jesus as my Christ, I have a substitute Christ, a counterfeit Christ in his place. So some leaders, including some of those sent out from John's churches, were outright hostile to the Christian faith, or others offered a subtle alternative to Jesus the Christ. Either way, they were rejecting Jesus and his claims to be God's king for all. And after all, Jesus did say, you are either with me or against me. The test of a Christian here is what you believe about Jesus. That's what this whole first section has been about, or the bulk of it anyway. And so, as he comes to the crunch, he's putting everyone on the spot, his readers. What do you believe? That Jesus was a man and nothing more? Well, John is encouraging you to take Jesus' claims more seriously. What do you believe about Jesus? Some sort of prophet? Well, even Muslims believe that. But John makes it clear that Jesus is more than a prophet. He is God who became human. He is the long-awaited Christ, the Messiah, King of all for all time. And Jesus was not content to be regarded by people as a prophet and nothing more, because he claimed to be no less than God. If you believe he is God and human, if you believe he is the Christ, God's King for all time, then you are on the road to calling yourself a Christian. And you can have confidence in your Christian faith, your position with God. And as you bow to Jesus as God's King, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us. That's where the passage goes next, verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. And John sees this as a big reassurance for those true followers of Jesus in that confusing time. As he goes on in verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And you know that no lie comes from the truth. But he also points out that this is a proper test. When I say proper test, it reminds me of an old English teacher I used to have. It seemed whatever I wrote, I always got a C or above. It was a pass, at least. However bad it was, and I did test the limits, it seemed I could never fail. But when it comes to this test, when it comes to fellowship with God, it matters. It does matter how we respond to Jesus. There are not prizes for everyone. only some have fellowship with God. In verse 22 and following, that's what John is writing. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's saying it very clearly there, isn't he? Here at the denouement of this point. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Everyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. So it matters that we receive Jesus as the Christ if we want to be in fellowship with God the Father. And we can be confident of our fellowship with God the Father forever as we receive and confess Jesus as the Christ. In verse 24 and following, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. So John's encouraging them, don't let anyone take away your assurance. If you're a believer in Jesus, the Christ, don't be deceived by false teachers. Stick with what you've been told since the beginning, the gospel message. And let it abide in you, stay with you. Don't be knocked off course. Don't be impressed by something novel that someone describes to you as the next stage that you really need. Don't be deceived. Verse 26, I write these things to you concerning those who would deceive you. So he's reassuring them. And remember, the Holy Spirit lives in you, he says. If you receive Jesus as the Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Holy Spirit teaches you, seeks to remind you of the things that you've been told since the beginning. So don't go looking for new teaching. You'll most likely end up following false teachers. Stick with the teaching you had from the beginning, which the Holy Spirit reinforces in you. That's the message of John here, as this section comes towards an end. And incidentally, it's worth noting that here John has also shown us that God reveals himself as the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He talks a lot about the Father and the Son, but he also talks about the Holy Spirit, as we see in this little section. Just he uses his own terms, which John the Apostle often did. You remember in John's Gospel, if you've read it, chapter 16 or so, he talks about the Holy Spirit and calls him the Comforter. Here in his letter, he calls the gift of the Holy Spirit when we become Christians the anointing. That's his sort of code word, if you like, for the Holy Spirit. So verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. Verse 27, as for you, the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And verse 28, abide in him. Oh, sorry, it's 27b. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, abide in him. So it is the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And so we see here, as in other places, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not a later invention by Christians, as some claim. It's right here from John the Apostle, who heard Jesus speak about it. God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to help us acknowledge Jesus as the King of all, the Christ. And so have fellowship with the Father, a proper right relationship with God. And that is what will matter most on the last day. Our fellowship with God through Jesus. It matters now in order to make the difference on the last day. That's how John finishes this little section, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. So we come to the end of this first main section of the letter, the first test, if you like. There are two more studies that have been done and are out at the back, so home group leaders and others who collect them, they're ready for collection. And next time we take up with the next section of 1 John, it's going to be in 3 Sundays' time now, because over Ascension and Pentecost, we're going to have other themes. But 1 John, the letter, we'll take up with in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Well, we thank you, Lord, that you are clear, that you are loving, that you call us to be in fellowship with you. And please, Lord, help us not to be fuzzy in our thinking or our response, but to respond to your love with our love for you, and to respond to your claims with our belief and acceptance and receiving of you as the Christ. Amen.